A mother thinks her young daughter could have been killed under a train at Epsom Station. Amanda Gibb claims it moved off whilst youngsters were still trying to get on. She even managed to wedge the doors open to grab her 3-year-old daughter and 11-year-old son.
I was standing waiting to get onto the train, and a really kind lady came, saw the size of my hefty pram and gave us a lift onto the train with little Ava in the pram. And I'd left Max and Katie standing holding hands on the platform. I had one hand on the pram, turned round to get Katie by the hand, and the doors closed. And she's sort of stepping from the platform onto the train, and the doors just... the alarm went beep, beep, beep and didn't give us a chance to do anything. The doors closed onto my legs, fortunately, so I'm sort of standing, prising the doors open with my legs, holding Katie by one hand, the pram with the other, and then the train started moving. So I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And fortunately, from somewhere, Max was able to have the savvy to give Katie a huge, hefty shove and then leap into the train himself.
So how long do you think the doors were actually open for?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you, but not long enough. Really not long enough. The gap was huge and the step was massive. So thankfully, that lady was able to help us get the buggy on. But I don't think that took us an inordinate amount of time either.
In terms of the train starting to move off, what was going through your head at that stage?
It happened very quickly, but at the same time it happened in slow motion. And I know that sounds really silly, but something kicked in and made me think, I've got to do something. So after I'd done that, then, of course, you start imagining what could have happened. And that little girl would have been down that gap, under the train, and if nobody had seen the fact that she was trying to get into the train in the first place, then who would have known that she was underneath it?
Now, Southern Railways, which runs Epsom Station and ran that particular train that was on its way to Ashted, insists there were two members of station staff on the platform at the time that the 357 was leaving last Thursday. It's told BBC Surrey that the train also did not move off with its doors open, although they say they do not know what happened to let the doors shut early. Just before 7 o'clock this morning, I spoke to Southern Railways Head of Safety, Steve Enright.
That categorically didn't happen. I spoke to Ms Gibb yesterday to explain the systems we've got in place that prevent that and how we've managed to ascertain that for sure from the CCTV footage and the download from the train systems.
So as you say, it's focusing on how two members of staff weren't able to recognise that there was a mother trying to get her children on board and gave the signal for the train to depart.
Yeah, and if you can imagine, at times on busy platforms, we have a number of processes in place. I'm sure regular rail travels will be familiar with this, whistles blown, people being asked to stand clear. The hustle alarm, that beeping alarm that sounds before the doors start to close and whilst they're closing, to give people an indication that the train is going to depart on schedule, and that gives people some warning, some adequate warning throughout the industry to be able to stand clear of the doors at that time. We do recognise we have passengers like Ms Gibb who are dealing with small children and the baby buggy, and we would expect people to be aware of that on the platform, our people to be looking up and down and making sure that those people are safe.
Now, we're going to be speaking to Bob Crowe, the General Secretary of the RMT Rail Union, in a moment, but I just wanted to speak to Amanda Gibb again, who you heard a moment ago. Good morning, Amanda.
Hello.
And now, I understand you've spoken to Steve Enright yesterday after we conducted our interview and after BBC Surrey contacted Southern Railway. Are you satisfied with the apology and the explanation, which seems to conflict with your recollection of events?
I'm happy with the fact they're taking it seriously and with the fact that they have apologised. We spent nearly half an hour talking about it on the phone, and Steve went into some detail to explain what had gone wrong. He says there were two members of staff there. I didn't see them, so maybe that explains why they didn't see me. And he did say that it was, you know, a fault of the safety procedures not being followed correctly, which is what led to the doors closing on to little Katie. With regard to them saying the train didn't move, I've spoken to Max and he feels that it did too. So I don't know whether perhaps it was just the panic that made us think that that happened. If they've got CCTV and everything to say that it didn't, then I can't argue with that, but as far as I remember, that is the way that it happened.
Well, I think there's two points here. One, it was a terrifying experience that you were needlessly put through, either because of inattentiveness from station staff or something going wrong in another area. And you've discovered that this isn't an isolated incident, which is why I'd like to bring in Bob Crow from the RMT Rail Union. You said that you put your experience up on Facebook and two people came back to you about this, and I've mentioned it on the programme this morning, and another person has said that they've had a similar experience themselves. Do you think that this is potentially an accident waiting to happen, Amanda?
I do, yeah, and I feel sorry for the drivers of the trains who are possibly going to be the ones who end up with such a tragedy happening on their shift.
Well, to hear that from you might well be music to the ears of Bob Crow, but Mr. Crow, good morning. There were two station staff who should have been doing their job properly, and if they were, then this would have been averted.
Well, I don't doubt what you say is true, but I believe the station staff did do their job properly. I mean, it's no good you conduct an investigation from your offices of your radio station about what took place at a particular day. I mean, the lady there concerned and a child, I've got four children myself, I never drove a car in my life and you always use trains, understand the complete stress that she must have been going through. But don't just turn around and say, oh, it was the station staff's fault.
Well, that's what Southern Railways are saying. They are saying somehow...
You don't know that. You're making an assumption, sitting in your radio station, once again blaming station staff. You don't know what happened. You don't know if the person was obscured from seeing the people getting onto the trains. You don't know if the station staff was distracted. You don't know if the driver got the signal.
Okay,
there's a whole range of things that happened.
Let Ms. Gibb respond to that.
Okay, yesterday, during my conversation with Steve, he said that they have conducted a thorough investigation of the CCTV from both the platform and the train. And the result is that it's the case that the station staff didn't do what they should have done.
He told me that himself. It's pretty simple, isn't it, Mr. Crow? Their job is to make sure that there are no more people trying to board the train before they wave it off.
Well, I'm saying, of course, the station staff's job when they're dispatching trains is to make sure that the doors open, people get off, people get on, the doors close, there's no obstruction, give the signal to the driver goes off. That is quite true. But you don't know what actually took place that day at 3:57. You don't know if the station staff was called away to do something else. We don't know that. And we're not going to have an investigation over the telephone. That investigation will be done properly, be a staff representative with our members concerned, and our members have got the right to put their case to management as well. But going forward, what we're saying is that, yes, there are cases like this that happen. And don't forget, there are many stations on the Southern Railway and other parts of Britain where there's no station staff at all, where it's called driver-only operation, where the driver has to look into a mirror or into a TV camera to see if everything's not been obscured. And there's a case after case that happens when people jump off the train late, they realise they're not at the station that they are, try to jump off, get caught in the doors, and things happen like this. So let's just look at one incident, 3:57. What took place to the lady there and her children was dreadful. And quite rightly, passengers don't deserve to go through that kind of stress, and that matter will be resolved. But going forward, let's not have a situation where that the government is trying to get rid of all station staff on platforms and then turn around and say, because an incident took place at 3:57 the other day.
If those station staff were doing their jobs properly, this wouldn't have happened.
You say about doing their job properly, you don't know what took place. And by the way, have you never made a mistake in your life?
Yeah, but when I make a mistake,
no,
people, people's
you,
when I make a mistake,
ever,
people's health
mistake?
And safety aren't
have
put at risk.
Have you ever made a mistake in your life?
When
your
I make a mistake in radio, people's health and safety aren't put at risk. I'm sorry, Mr. Crow, we're going to have to leave it there.
You make a mistake, and all you do is get it wrong when you speak over a microphone. You might say a certain time's wrong or a certain date's wrong.
Yeah.
People are human beings. They make mistakes. The only people that don't make mistakes are people that don't do nothing.
All right.
Let's not condemn these people and give them a hearing and a disciplinary hearing over the telephone. Let them have an opportunity to put their case about actually what happened.
Okay, Mr. Crow from the RMT Union, thank you. Mrs. Gibb, just before you disappear, quick reaction to what you heard Bob Crow say there.
Quite frankly, if a mistake by a human being could potentially have cost my 3-year-old daughter her life, then that's not something I'm happy to hear about.
Mm.
not something I'm really up to discussing at the moment. I'm quite shocked.
And Mr. Enright has offered you the opportunity of taking your daughter into a more protected environment in order to try and get her more familiar with the train system so that she isn't so traumatised in future. Are you going to be taking that up from him?
I'd need to sort of speak to her about it slowly. I did mention it to her and she point blank refused. The word train seems to still be a bit of a horrible word as far as she's concerned, but give it some time and perhaps we will. I think that's a kind offer from them.
Well, let's stay in touch. It's it's interesting what Mr. Crowe has suggested. I'm still a little bit shocked myself, but we'll leave it there.
Okay.
Thank you very much to Amanda Gibb. It's 18 minutes past 8.